Well, we begin this new series, and we're going to look at people that Jesus met with. And I think that as we go through these series, these encounters with Jesus, one, we will learn something about people. We'll discover that people fundamentally haven't changed in the last couple of thousand years. And really, the same issues and challenges and concerns that we have now, they have then. People on a fundamental level haven't changed, but more than that, we'll see, meet Jesus. And we will discover he hasn't changed at all. And my prayer for you is that as we see these people who meet Jesus, you would yourselves come to meet Jesus. But let me tell you about a conversation I had. It was about this time last year. I was invited to a lunch meeting in Bream. And St. James's in Bream have a lunchtime meeting on a Friday every couple of weeks where they have lunch together, the elderly folk have lunch together, and then they have a speaker. And so I was invited for this. And I met this elderly lady, and I was chatting to her, and I was told she lived in Lydney, you see. And I said to her, well, have you always lived in Lydney? Oh, no. I'm from Alberton. And you know that Alberton is just the very edge of Lydney. It's the outskirts. But we do that, don't we? We tend to identify ourselves by where we're from. If you meet somebody new, one of the questions you ask them is, well, where do you live? Where do you come from? And I'm from Cardiff. And if you're from Cardiff, you have a rival. You have the other place. And it's Swansea. And you'll know of local rivalries in sport. And as I've come to St. Breville's, I've picked up on the rude comments that people make about Cinderford. You see, in every place, we define ourselves by where we're from and where we're not from. And that is not new. We're going to meet this man as we read this morning. A man called Nathaniel. He comes from a village called Cana in Galilee. A quiet backwater, really. Not a fashionable place, not a sophisticated place, not a wealthy place. But in the story we read, he was told about Jesus. And Jesus, we are told, came from Nazareth. And if Cana is kind of fairly low-key and unsophisticated. Well, Nazareth, dear me. His reaction to discovering this one Jesus is from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Well, let's meet Nathaniel and see his encounter with Philip and with Jesus. Jesus, we're told, has come over into Galilee. He's come to Fishertown. He's come to this place on the where these fishermen live and work. He's called a man called Philip. He says to him, follow me. Now notice that. This encounter that Philip has with Jesus is a call to action. In meeting with Jesus, in coming to see him, there is a call to action, a call to commitment. Maybe some of you are interested in Jesus. Maybe you're a little intrigued by him. Maybe you find him fascinating. Maybe you enjoy yourselves when you come here. Well, that's good. But there is a call here to commitment. Jesus doesn't say, be intrigued by me. He says, follow me. Now, to follow someone, that can be demanding. That can be difficult. That can be costly. But that's what Jesus calls of us, that we would follow. And I have to ask this question, will you follow him? Well, Philip does follow him. And so that's the kind of set in the introduction. And now we see an invitation. Philip is excited having met Jesus. Philip can't keep the news to himself. And in verse 45, he rushes off and finds Nathanael and tells him about Jesus. Now, those of you who have met Jesus, those of you who would say, well, I am following him. Philip was excited about Jesus. He couldn't keep the good news to himself. What about you? Are you excited by having come face to face with Jesus? Are you excited that you have followed him? It's all well and good that every week we preach here and we read the Bible and explain it. It's all well and good that we have different kind of outreaches. At Easter, we had the open air service down there, and we do the services perhaps at the school and different forms where we would reach out to people. That's good. That's important. You know, there's something unique about the personal witness of a friend. Now, while we were away, someone borrowed our house, and we've come back, and I need to get a glazier. I need to get someone to come and fix a window. So you can see me afterwards and you can tell me about who can replace a window unit for me. And I will pay attention to that. You'll tell me who came and did a good job for you. They came on time. They did it quickly. They gave you a good price. It was efficient. And if somebody recommends you like that, you pay attention to that, don't you? Far more than just me turning to the other pages and putting my finger in and finding someone who will do windows. You take seriously that personal recommendation. Well, there's something unique about the personal witness of a friend to who Jesus is and what he's done. And what Philip says is this, look at it in verse 45. We've found the one. We found him. Which one? The one that Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. The one that God had promised would come. We found him. And he's the real deal. We found the one that was promised. Now this is interesting. I don't know if I know some of you have read the Bible. When you read the Bible, there is something incredible. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. There is something like, well, there are 66 books in the Bible that have been compiled together. They've been written by dozens of authors over a period of more than 1,000 years. But they have a unified message. It would not be surprising if you read a letter to you that had a coherent message. It wouldn't be surprising if you picked up a book and discovered it had a coherent message. This is a library of books. Together, all pointing to the same thing. And this book, the Bible, this library of books is unique. And it has this supernatural coherence. This overarching message that points to Jesus, to the Messiah, the promised one of God. And Nathaniel says, when I read this book, and then when I meet Jesus, I discover the search is over. The one I've been waiting for, the one we've been looking for. Here he is. We found him at last. After all the waiting and all the searching, here he is. We found him. And my question to you is, have you found him? The one that is being promised and pointed to, the one you need. The one who, as we will discover as we go through these encounters of Jesus, meets their need and satisfies them and fills them up. But to meet your deep need, that you would be right with God. To meet your need so that when you die, as you one day must, you would know security and peace. And Nathaniel says, we found him. Have you found him? Well, that's the invitation that comes from Philip to Nathaniel. We found him. But now look at the response of Nathaniel. This Jesus, he comes from Nazareth. Notice this. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Here's a real historical person. Our friends who stayed while we were away went to the castle last weekend for the ahead of World War II, a weekend before, for the World War II kind of event they had on at the castle. And while the children were doing the obstacle course there, our friends got chatting to the lady who was running it. And our friends explained that they weren't local, they were staying in someone's house in the village. They were staying in a house while these people were off and away in Africa. And the lady they were talking to turned around and said, "Oh, you're staying in Madame Rosie's house." Why? Because the information that they were staying in a house while we were in another place was enough to identify, wasn't it? There's only so many people in St. Breville's. Not many of them were in Uganda a fortnight ago. And therefore, okay, you must be staying in Matt and Rosie's house. Fine. That's enough information to identify. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, is enough to identify. You go to Nazareth, small village, you ask round. It would be as if you said, "Adele, the daughter of Mike from St. Breville's." And anybody could come here, and everybody in St. Breville's knows Mike Parry, and everybody then would be able to find out who Adele is. It's the same thing. This Jesus is a real historical person that you can locate in space and time. Can anything good come, though, from Nazareth? Is a question that Philip has. Where do important people come from? Where do the movers and shakers come from? I mean, back then you would expect it to be from Jerusalem, maybe, where the temple is, and where the palace is, and where all the rule that goes on. But Jesus didn't come from there. Maybe you'd expect him to come from Bethlehem, the royal city where King David's family came from. No, he doesn't come from there. He comes from Nazareth. It's a bit like... Well, it's a bit like a mechanic from Colford being received in London. And being there among all the movers and the shakers. And all the politicians and the elite and the media people and so on. It's a bit unlikely, isn't it? You find it hard to picture that scene. Well, that's what's going on for us here. As Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, is suddenly burst onto the scene. And what does Nathaniel say? Rubbish. Impossible. It just can't be. This Jesus you were talking about can't be for real. Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? No, it's impossible. What does Philip do? Philip's very wise. Philip doesn't sit down and spend 3 hours arguing with Nathaniel about how, no, this really is the case. No, there's a place for arguing and explaining and justifying why you believe what you believe. But Philip doesn't begin by doing that. He doesn't argue why Jesus is credible because he knows it's unlikely he's going to convince Nathaniel. He says something different. Just come and see for yourself. That there is something significant to this personal testimony, this recommendation, this personal encounter that Philip has, he knows is what Nathaniel needs. He needs to come and examine Jesus for himself. And I'd say to you, you need to meet with Jesus personally. You need to see him for yourself. It's no good me telling you about him. I'm glad to tell you about him. But you need to meet him for yourself. And so I'd say to you, don't dismiss this Jesus before you examine him for yourself. If you are a skeptic, if you are someone who needs to be convinced, well, what's the thing to do? What's the honest thing to do? It's to examine the evidence for yourself, isn't it? Rather than form your own kind of presupposition, your own opinion, well, the honest thing to do is to examine the evidence, to come and see for yourself. And Nathaniel is honest about this. He's got doubts, of course he is. And he expresses them in this honesty. And then, well, he comes to see Jesus. Come and see, says Philip. And then Jesus sees Nathanael approaching. Nathanael decides he's going to investigate. And then Jesus, in response to seeing him come in, he says this: "Here's a true Israelite in whom there's nothing false." Here's a man who's honest, Jesus says about Nathanael. There's no guile in him. Nothing false about him. He has doubts, and he's not afraid to express them. Don't be afraid to express your doubts. And when Jesus says this, here's an Israelite, here's someone who's honest and straightforward, Nathanael acknowledges that Jesus is right. Verse 48, "How do you know me? Jesus, you've put your finger on this. You are right. How is it you know me?" And Jesus' answer, this is fascinating: "Oh, I saw you while you were sat under a fig tree before Philip called you. I haven't heard about you. No one told me about you," says Jesus. "I saw you." These two statements of Jesus: firstly, here's a true Israelite, there's nothing false about him. Secondly, "I saw you when you were sitting under the tree way before Philip came to you." They display something unique about Jesus. These two statements, they take Nathanael from being a skeptic to being a believer. They demonstrate that Jesus has a supernatural authority about him. That Jesus knows everything. That Jesus sees everything. Jesus displays who he is. And Nathanael, like that, changes from being a man with questions and doubts, a man who needs to be convinced, to man who turns around and in verse 49 says, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "you are the Son of God. And you are the King of Israel. You are the one we've been waiting for. You're the one that God has sent. You are the Son of God." It's amazing what Nathanael says here. Now, Nathanael has an insight to something that will gradually be unfolded through the rest of this book of John. But he's met Jesus now. He came to see, and he's seen. And Jesus tells him. What does he tell him? "Well, you believe that I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that." Jesus says this: "You ain't seen nothing yet." Why? Why does he say that? Well, Jesus had done something that was miraculous. Jesus had told him things that he could never have known. But miracles are a shaky basis of faith. Because God does something spectacular, that's not a sufficient evidence. Because there are greater things. What are the greater things? And this is a strange statement. "I tell you the truth," Jesus says, "you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And you think to yourself, well, what on earth is that about? Well, Jesus is speaking to Nathanael, who's a true Israelite. And so he knows his Israelite history. And Jesus is referring back to an event. It happens in Genesis chapter 28. You can go away and read it in your own time. A man called Jacob. Jacob would later have his name changed to become Israel. And Jacob is a name that tells you about the fact that he's a trickster and a deceiver. And Israel is a name that tells you about a man who's met with God, seen God. But anyway, this guy Jacob, this chap in Genesis chapter 28, we're told he lies down, he's run away from home because he's deceived his brother, he's tricked his brother wants to kill him, and he runs away from home, and on his way away from home, in the night, he lies down, he hasn't got a bed with him or anything comfy, in the absence of any of these things, he takes a pillow and uses it for a rock. But as he's sleeping there with his head on this rock, he has a dream. And in the dream, he sees heaven. He sees God in heaven, and he sees a ladder that reaches from heaven to earth. Angels going up and down on it. And then God comes and stands over him. And Jesus, what, in saying, look, you're going to see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus is saying this, I am opening a way between heaven and earth. I am opening up a way for you to get to God. Jesus is in effect saying, I am the ladder. I am the way for man to be right with God. For you to come to join heaven and earth together. And you, Nathaniel, the skeptic, the cynic, by faith, you're going to see it. Well, Jesus meets with Nathaniel. Nathaniel comes to see who he is. Here's the invitation to you. I want to say to you the same thing that Philip said. Come and see. Come and see. If you have doubts and questions about Jesus, if you struggle to believe because of where he's from, or what he's done, or what you've heard, or even how this fits into your whole kind of view of the world, fine. Bring your questions and your doubts. Come and see. Don't dismiss him. Don't ignore the evidence. Don't turn your back and decide you know better. But rather, with the spirit of kind of honest inquiry that Nathaniel has here, come and see. And when you examine the evidence for yourself, when you meet him, or maybe you find that things are different, come and see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus. We thank you that they are trustworthy and true. And many of us here can point to that in our own experience. We can say we have found him. But Lord, I pray particularly this morning for those who perhaps are like Nathaniel, still asking, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can this guy be for real? Is this Jesus true? Is he trustworthy? Lord, I pray particularly for them this morning that as we, over the next few weeks, see Jesus' encounter with people, pray, Lord God, that they would come and see. Pray, Lord God, as we look at the people Jesus met with, we would come to meet with Jesus. And we would discover him to be all that is promised. Pray these things in Jesus' good name. Amen.